like Mussina. I think Mussina is the other guy. I don't know if he's a first ballot guy. Mussina probably second or third ballot, but he'll get in there. I expect Mussina to be a Hall of Famer.
I don't have the numbers on exactly how many wins, but in this story I'm looking at from ESPN.com, all of the managers he mentioned, Torrey, La Russa, Cox, have all won 2,000 games or more in their managerial careers. Here's a number for you, and I just took the number 2,000 even. If you went undefeated in baseball, they would have had to coach 12 seasons and gone undefeated to get to the 2,000 mark.
Yeah.
A little over 12 seasons, 12.3 seasons per, undefeated to get to 2,000. That just puts in perspective how many freaking wins 2,000 is as a baseball manager. That is ridiculous.
And you think of the legacies that these men left behind. I mean, Joe Torre helped the Yankees turn into what I remember hearing what the Yankees were like in my father's day in the 50s, a dynasty, a true dynasty in every sense, and the greatness that they put on the field, and he was the man that ran it. La Russa, world championships with two teams in two leagues. That only happened once previously. That's Sparky Anderson, who also is a Hall of Famer. And La Russa was one of the forebearers of really statistical analysis being used in the front office. And then Bobby Cox had, 15 consecutive division championships and a team that was built on pitching in an offensive-heavy era. And Cox is also an interesting guy because he was the general manager of the Braves, if I remember, that stepped down and then decided he's going to be the manager now because he saw it from two different perspectives and also managed the Blue Jays when they were a very good team in the late 80s. So three great careers, and without question, they all belong in the Hall of Fame.
Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline is where Bill Vickery resides at the moment. Hello, Mr. Vickery. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, I know you're going to be up against the break.
That's okay. Take your time. We're good.
Won't be long.
We hold breaks in this era. It's all good.
And it was I want to comment on what Phil said, but after a weekend of football back-to-back with college and pro games Saturday and Sunday that were fan-freaking-tastic, it was a wonderful weekend of pro football. But Phil is exactly right. There are two human beings that completely changed sports on the planet Earth. Maybe three. Rue Knowledge with ABC and Pete Rozelle, who understood the television and the NFL as an entertainment vehicle. And then Marvin Miller, who, and I despise organized labor, but that guy was a genius. And he made American sport what it is today in terms of the athletes. Football, basketball players, golfers, gymnasts wouldn't be making money the way that they are today if it wasn't for Marvin Miller understanding the value that players had, and not that it wasn't the owner. Nobody watches an owner own a team. They go to watch the players, and he understood that and worked with Curt Flood and a number of other players in the early 70s and late 60s through the late 70s. And I know he's despised a lot for that, but if you play a sport and get a paycheck, you owe Marvin Miller a piece of that, and it is a travesty he's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
It's well said, Billy, and it's too bad because when it comes to anything involving a Hall of Fame in any sport, you're going to look at statistics and you're going to look at numbers. There are no statistics that you can point to with Marvin Miller except for dollar figures in the game. And he's responsible not just for the dollars that the players are making, but the money that the teams are making, that the game itself funnels through as revenue. I mean, players were practically indentured servants if they wanted to play baseball. They could not choose where they were going. They had no bargaining power whatsoever. They weren't slaves because they were paid, but they were practically indentured servants. They're no longer like that. And I get that fans don't like the idea that players make millions of dollars. Look, this is what the market bears. This is what these guys are worth in this market. Mm-hmm. And it goes right back to Marvin Miller.
If Rue Knowledge, Pete Rozelle, and Marvin Miller are the three most towering figures in sport from the 1950s forward, because it no longer became sports as just a game that happens to be played on a certain day. It became a showpiece event, whether it was Franz Klammer in the 76 Olympics or Wide World of Sport. That poor idiot, ski jumper who falls over the front of the ski jump every Saturday on Wide World of Sports is the agony of defeat. And what Pete Rozelle understood is the NFL. It is a prime-time vehicle. Put it out there as a television show, not just as some event that we play in front of 55,000 or 70,000 people on a Sunday afternoon. Let the world see it. And then Marvin Miller understanding how valuable the players in every sport were to the product that was on the field. Those three guys that they created the modern era of sports that we enjoy today.
One other man that belongs on that Mount Rushmore, because there's four on Mount Rushmore, and that would be Branch Rickey. Rickey, without question on that.
And if we ever have a Mount Rushmore of the Buzz, Bill Vickery, you're on it.
I'm one of the engineers.
I actually may put you on both ends, and then we'll squeeze a couple. We'll squeeze Tommy Smith and Randy Rainwater in between.
Oh, I've been on both ends before, Justin.
Are you done with OPP, Bill? We're going to take a timeout. Thanks for the insight, Mr. Vickery. I look forward
to,
by the way, while we got you on, we have the first place and last place finishers here together now for the Blind Pig Picks of the Week. It is over. It is over. And our winner, Phil Elson, ladies and gentlemen, off to a slow start, but one of the greatest comebacks in sports history.
And I beat Wally by one freaking point.
Amazing.
One.
1 point over Wally, 2 points over the Pigskin, 3 points over me and Chris Kane. And Bill Vickery was slightly behind that.
Can I get extra points for getting Bill Vickery to say nice things about a union boss?
Yeah, that's the lion and the lamb laying down together there.
Bill, I applaud you for playing. I got a green participation ribbon up here for you to come and wear later on this week.
I think we should all get trophies. It did hurt not picking for two straight weeks.
You could say that again.
Actually, that's probably not a good strategy.
The fact that you only finished 11 points behind, I guess, is good. Although those 2 weeks, I don't think anybody scored more than 5 points total. So you didn't miss a lot.
Wally kept calling me high school. All season long, Wally called me high school.
Yes, Wally and Reggie Herring have a lot in common. All right, well, we'll look forward to a free lunch.
I owe everybody lunch.
We'll figure out
everybody lunch.
We'll figure out a day when you can do it, and then if they can make it, cool. And if they can't, screw them. They don't get no free lunch.
Steak, lobster.
That's your dinner. That's on me.
It's on me.
Yeah.
It's on me.
All right, Bill. Appreciate it, man.
See you guys.
Take care. It is 11:31. We are way behind. I blame Matty T for this.
Sorry.
Yeah. Step your game up, son. I have exactly zero. Apparently, nobody needs a haircut or UALR basketball tickets. And I'll throw in some tropical smoothie for the winner of game balls and jockstraps. Best game ball and jockstrap from over the weekend. By the way, how about a game ball for Zach Johnson? Nobody is paying attention to golf, but on the final hole of regulation, he hits in, after going in the water, he hits in from the drop zone for par, and then he beats Tiger Woods on the first extra hole. How about a game ball for little Zach Johnson, the little man that could? Very impressive.